Welcome to episode 278 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy that you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedbacks and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our Facebook, website, or Twitter. My name is Lindsay, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Donna, and George. So have you recently been to a local brewery, brew house, tap room, or bottle shop? You may have noticed the explosion of craft beers from all over the country and even from your own backyard. Recently, Donna traveled to St. Petersburg, Florida to experience the local craft beer scene and meet brewery owners and tour operators that cater to the brewing industry. So, Donna, you tell us about your this was like a wonderland for beer?
No, not really. I mean, yes, we had a couple excursions to local breweries and all. But for the most part, it was really a conference on how to bring clients to you and how to get clients to your brewery or how to get clients to your beer tours for the tour operators. And so that way, you know, it was all about bringing people to locations rather than actually just tasting. Okay. Now, I will admit there was quite a bit of tasting too.
I was going to say, I'm sure you found a way to squeeze it in.
Oh yes. Everybody went to, in between all the sessions, it's like, okay, you go to the one session, then it's like, oh, got to go get a beer. And then you go bring it in, sit down at the table while you're taking your notes and everything. And then you, oh, there's another break. Oh, 15 minutes. That's enough time to go to the bar and go get another beer.
So wait, did they have like open taps going on, or were you buying all these beers, or how did that work?
I bought one beer from the bar in the hotel. But no, actually all of the sponsors of the group would bring in beer. So some of them were breweries, some of them were brew buses and things like that. And they brought in beer to share with everybody.
So this is like, anybody who's listened to us for longer than 5 minutes knows that this is like something that's so near and dear to all of our hearts. And every time I travel anywhere, anybody's ever gone with me can attest that I will drag you to a beer tour and go do, then this has really been a booming thing. I've so many bus tours and that. So did you learn about any new exciting opportunities for people to kind of?
I did. I met someone from Portland, Maine. And he runs Granite, I think it's called Granite City Tours, Brew Tours. There's one here, right here in Raleigh, called the Raleigh Brew Bus, or Brews Cruise.
Oh, they come to Bombshell.
Yeah. Yes, and they actually are affiliated also with the one in Asheville, and they're also affiliated with the one in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then also affiliated with one in the Tampa Bay area. And then I also met a guy from San Francisco that does walking tours.
Nice.
So yeah, I've met quite a few operators that actually take you around to the local breweries.
Nice.
And one of the things that they did mention is that there's two kinds of tours, basically, when you walk into a brewery. One, you've got the one for the beer nerds, and they go on to know, okay, well, what kind of hops are you using, and what kind of tanks do you have, and what's your output, and how fresh is it, and they want to know all these little details. And then you've got the people that just like to drink. It's like, oh, well, I like this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one.
And they want to taste everything.
And they want to taste everything.
There's no shame in wanting to taste everything, because you could be searching for your holy grail beer. You never know.
Yes.
You're looking for your one favorite drinker. And let's just all hope it's something that you can buy from home.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the other thing, is that they're getting sometimes these breweries have small batches that they don't actually distribute, mm-hmm. because it's a small batch or a collab with another brewery. And so it's very small distribution or no distribution whatsoever. The only place you can get this particular beer is at the brewery that you're going to.
Yeah. And I forgot what I was going to say. Well, I know what it was. I was going to say that, like, and the beer is going to be a lot fresher at the brewery. I was just thinking about the brewery down the street and the beer that I drank last week. They told me they were on their last keg, and it's going to be
a year before they brew it again.
Well, no, they're brewing it, but it won't be ready for a couple weeks. That's where my mind was. Sorry.
Okay. Well, and some of these are seasonal beers that they only do at certain times of the year, like Christmas beers. You don't want a Christmas beer in the middle of September or in the middle of summer.
I'm kind of guilty. I still have a Punkaccino from Elysian Brewery. I hoard that stuff when it comes out because it sells out. And this year, for some reason, I brought too much beer home from traveling. And I couldn't get to it. And it's so I have this Punkaccino, and here we are in February. I'm sure it doesn't taste good by now. But
I have an Iron City from the last time the Steelers won the Super Bowl. It's been in my fridge a long time.
Save that. I wouldn't crack it now. Yeah. It's probably not any good, but it may be like sentimental value.
That's
Terry Bradshaw give that to you.
No, it was in the century. Thank you.
For Josh's birthday, we went to this Viking beer hall restaurant thing. And we impulse bought this bottle of Viking blood mead. I think it's mead. It's mead. But on the way out, and it was like $40, and we didn't even realize it until we're paying the bill. We're like, wow, our bill was $80. But it's sitting in the refrigerator, and every time I open the refrigerator, I'm like, okay, we have to drink that before it goes bad because it was $40. Got to get on it before it goes bad. But yeah, you bring all these, you know, that's part of the joy of when you go visit a new destination, getting to taste the local flavors, and whether that be for you foods or spirits, or in this case, beer, getting to do that. Did you learn about any, I know you said that there were some bus companies there. Did you learn about any travel tours?
Actually, I did, because there was a gentleman that we kind of got paired up together just completely by accident, and he runs brewery tours in Munich.
Oh, fun.
Him and his wife. And so they, if you know, anybody wants to go to Munich and actually go and try some of the little smaller breweries, not the Schneider Weiss, not the Hofbrauhaus. But if you want to go to some of the smaller little pubs, he can definitely take you out there. And he's got a brewing background, because his family also is in the beer industry. So he actually knows about brewing beer as well as, of course, what's good.
So what are some reasons? I mean, you talked a little bit about like being a beer nerd. And I know for me, it's mostly the tasting. I do, I'm not really, I think I'm like the scale of 1 to 10, where 10's a beer nerd. I'm probably like maybe a 6 unintentionally from doing so many beer tours. You know, it'll be, when you're doing a tour and you're surprised, oh, I knew that, or I knew that. And that always surprises me every time. But so when you're talking about like, what are some of the reasons why someone might want to visit the breweries, to do these tours?
Well, one of the things is actually they've found that, and it's actually true of distilleries out there, as well as cideries and meaderies, and breweries, is that actually doing, going to these locations is an experience. And that's what really sets it apart than your local dive bar, down the street. It's the ambiance of it. There is usually a lot of places cater to families. Mm-hmm. So you can go enjoy a beer and you can, you know, play cornhole, or you can play, you know, yard Jenga or something like that to keep the kids occupied while you enjoy a beer. So it makes it enjoyable for the family to go and experience it together. And then you've got other places that are actually kind of like Sierra Nevada in Asheville. They have a full restaurant there that they actually have a big kitchen garden, everything that you can go in and you can, they have some amazing dishes, gourmet food to go try, as well as it pairs with your beer. So therefore you really get that experience, and get your beer tour if you want to.
Yeah. So what I've noticed is that the food has really become a big component in this too, because a lot of, even just in the last 5 years, a lot of our local breweries will now have food. If they don't have food, they'll have food trucks that come in.
Yes, because that is, a lot of that is due to the regulations around food. The breweries don't necessarily want to have to cover all of the regulations that food services have to have, so they bring in a food truck and then it's got its covered,
which is great, because then you can switch it up and it can be a different food truck. Or I know when I was this past summer when I was in Minneapolis going to a bunch of different breweries, that was one of the great things, was where's the food truck, what, like, where's the, because you know they were parked not too far away from from each one.
Yeah, our local brewery does that all the time, and it's awesome because you get something different. You had said like family friendly. Our local brewery has like babysitters on the run club night.
Wow, that's now that's quite amazing.
Yeah. That's service right there.
But I've seen bicycle clubs, I've seen yoga classes. You know, they're trying to make it more of a community center, and using the space for local groups to meet. And by doing that, then that brings business and that brings new people into their facility.
And it makes sense, because beer has been shared socially for thousands of years.
Yes.
And so let's talk about some of these beer destinations. Like, I know right off the top of our heads, we can all probably think of our one city that's a go-to. I'm from Wisconsin, so I know I'm always going to think anywhere in Wisconsin is where I would go for beer, New Glarus. You are from Washington State, which is where I live now, so you probably say Seattle.
I mean, like, Iron City.
Well, surprisingly, I mean, Asheville. Yeah. Asheville is one of the huge beer centers. I mean, we're lucky because it's right here in North Carolina, but Asheville has about 20 different breweries, you know. Some of them big, some of them small, some of them have distribution, some of them don't. And it makes a huge impact on the local economy. And they found that the economics of it is that it's not quite to the point where the market is saturated, but trying to get your beer on the grocery store shelves is kind of a pipe dream that's come and gone. Mm-hmm. Now it's serving smaller communities.
And just getting like it to the people. Does. Just getting it to the people, getting it to the locals who will be your.
Yes.
So you have Portland on here, and I know I've been to Portland a couple times, unfortunately, not yet to drink. This is something I need to go do. I need to go to brew tours in Portland. I know that Portland was just voted the number one foodie city in the US this past year. But do you know how many breweries they have?
I don't. But I did see, you have to understand it. Just about all the hops that are made in the United States are from right around the corner. They're in the Yakima Valley.
Oh.
So you're getting fresh ingredients that don't have to ship as far. So it keeps costs lower for the breweries. It just makes perfect sense. It's readily available.
And I know there's one that comes to my mind that's not on the list that you had on here, but Alaska. I've been to so many great breweries in Alaska, and the water quality, I think, yes, is what makes the beer taste so good there. There's so many
it great, does.
And they even have, so there's, I'm going to give a shout out to Big Swigs. There's a beer bus tour shuttle company, and he's got several different tours that he offers. They pick you right up in downtown Anchorage. There's even one that goes on the train. So you can do a beer tour from the train. How cool is that? That's
like, that is super cool.
That's like my favorite souvenir to get my husband when we go to Alaska, is like a brewery shirt. Those are the things that he's like the best. Even though he hasn't actually been to Alaska with me, and I'm going with Lindsay again.
Well, there's so many brewery cities out there in the U.S., and there's so many in the world to go to. And actually, I was looking at several lists and comparing them to see which ones were really the top cities. And there were three or four in Germany alone. I mean, just go to Germany.
Yeah.
Go to Belgium. You're going to drink good beer. You're going to drink good beer in Germany. It's my favorite. I'm a little prejudiced.
So I'm a little biased here. I love Germany.
Do they have like Mick Ultra type beer in Germany?
No, but you'd probably really like, there's some Hells that she would probably like.
Exactly. Yes. And some Kolsch's.
Kolsch's and some Hells that you would probably enjoy. But yeah, I love the beer in Germany was so good, in Austria, like that whole part of the world, just the I don't know what
they've been doing. And you have to also think is that it's not light beer.
Mm-hmm.
Over there, they don't make light beer because you're walking everywhere. You're walking off all of your beer.
Yeah, but you can mix it with lemonade and have Radlers, which is really nice when it's 100 degrees out. Yes. And that's or you can like.
That's good. I like the lemonade.
Yeah, thing. You would probably absolutely love that. I mean, it's a nice, light, refreshing way to enjoy your beer, and you'd probably be all over that. But yeah, that's one of my favorite places to go for beer too.
My dad has like all these beer steins from when he was in the army in Germany in the 60s before he met my mom, and the stories of how he got them are pretty funny too, because you know he got them at the bars, but he didn't. Yeah, never mind.
he probably doesn't want you to tell that story, Sandy.
It's like heirlooms now. I mean, it was 50 years ago.
So you've got some interesting places on here that I would typically associate with wine on this list. The Melbourne, Australia, Cape mm-hmm. Town, South Africa. So I'm really starting to kind of switch gears on even the beer lover that I am. That's not a typical area that I would have associated with for beer breweries.
And it's surprising. Well, you have to understand is that beer is actually getting a huge renaissance. It's now cool to drink beer, whereas it was all the uppity people were drinking wine before. Now beer is just as cool as wine. And so you've got really good growing conditions in Melbourne, Australia. You've got really good growing conditions in Cape Town to grow the malts and the grains and the hops that you need in order to do that. I mean, and you notice, I mean, where it's good for wine, it's good for beer too. So you have those centers that are surprisingly growing. And they've actually gotten a lot of recognition, and most people don't think about it. But when I did a lot of research on tours to go to those areas, beer just kept popping up and popping up and popping up. And I realized, I was like, oh, well, you know, next time I go to Cape Town, I can have good beer. I don't have to drink wine.
What about, I mean, another thing you have on the list is like Tokyo, Shanghai. I mean, I have to say, when we go to Epcot and we're drinking around the world, I typically will skip those countries.
I'm always thinking sake in Japan, not thinking beer. Although I've had Japanese beer before.
Yes.
Sapporo, or is that, what's it called? Is that right?
There's Sapporo. There's Asahi. There's a couple of them out there. But what was very interesting, I saw a statistic that Shanghai, that a quarter of the beer consumed in the world is actually consumed in Shanghai.
That's because there's so many people.
sheer volume.
Sheer volume. I mean, so they're getting, but there's also, and I was talking to my husband, who's actually a master brewer, that they have, Vietnam was actually on that list too. That they were a huge consumer of alcohol, but they have completely cracked down on their DWI list or DWI laws. And all of a sudden beer sales have just fallen off the face of the earth.
Oh, no.
And they're like, wait a minute. No, don't do that.
In Vietnam, you said?
In Vietnam, yes.
Well, they need to get Uber in Vietnam.
So one place that absolutely surprised me, that would have surprised me being on this list, but surprised me in person when I was there, was Budapest. I would have never, ever thought that I would find such a good beer.
Oh, it's fantastic.
In Budapest. And it was so good. And I found so many little hole-in-the-wall brew pubs. And it was just a great, great experience. And it was affordable.
Yes, you know? We bought quite a bit while we were over there and brought it back in our suitcases because the beer was so good.
I wouldn't have thought Budapest would not have good beer. I kind of would have.
Well, I thought they would have okay beer, but I wasn't thinking it was going to be as good as, you know, Germany and Austria and Belgium. And I just kind of thought, you know, it's going to be okay beer. And but it was really good, and they were very unique, and they're very into the flavors and the different. I'm not a brewer. I don't pretend to be one, even on TV. So I don't know what you call it, but like the infusions, and I had some good coffee stouts, and I think I had a peanut butter cup thing there.
And really Berlin good. Is known for that area, that too, because they've got the Berliner Weiss, and they usually mix it with, I want to say it's grenadine, and then there's also, they mix it with something green. Ooh. I can't remember what it is.
Mint?
That's what I was thinking, but I don't think it's mint.
No, it's not mint. Hang on a second. I'll tell you what it is, because our local, our Double Bluff Brewery here uses the same stuff because they import a lot of beer, but yes. Then he also makes it, and then you can mix, they mix this stuff in, and they can mix the flavors in with it, and...
It's almost like a wormwood. It has a grape seed flavor. It's kind of bitter.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm not gonna be able to find it. But yeah, I know what you're talking about because I've had it. Stinging Belgian triple with stinging nettles and woodroof.
There you go.
This sounds like a witch's brew.
It might tingle on the absinthe? Way down.
What'd you say, George?
Absinthe?
No.
Because that's green.
Absinthe makes the heart grow fonder. No, and which the green that she's talking about, it's a very light tinted green. Or at least it was in the ones that I had, and it wasn't like a thick.
So Donna, did your beer conference inspire you to plan some beer trips? Or do you have anything that you're putting together? Anything on the horizon?
Well, like I said, that's one of the great things is that you can actually, one of the things that they did mention is that most people don't necessarily travel just for beer or mm-hmm. travel necessarily just for wine or travel to go see their favorite distillery or something. They're going to those countries to see the sights and everything, but then they'll add a couple of brewery tours or something, or go to a specific brewery that they've heard about so that way it actually kind of is an add-on.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And the great thing is because there's so many craft breweries around the U.S., if you're going for a business conference to Chicago, you can go to a brew house in Chicago, mm-hmm. or you can go to a brew house in Los Angeles, or you can go to a bottle shop, or you can go while you're down in Tampa, go to Three Daughters. I mean, there's lots of different ways to go ahead and add that in. And if you really don't want to drive, take a brew bus, because that way somebody else is doing all the driving. And some of them, I was really, really excited about this. They'll pick you up at your hotel for an extra $50 and drop you off. So you don't even have to get to wherever the meeting spot is.
Yeah.
So by doing that, basically it makes it really, really easy to go drink beer and not have to worry about anything. You don't, and it doesn't, I mean, $50 is what it's going to cost. It's going to cost more than that sometimes for an Uber.
Yeah.
And if you're traveling abroad, I know Authentic Vacations, one of the suppliers we work with, has some really great itineraries that are completely customizable that will take you to these little out-of-the-wall places you probably wouldn't find on your own unless you spent a long time reading different books and trying to find different breweries, because I'm putting together a couple trips right now that are whiskey centered and beer centered in Scotland and Ireland, and but they have some really great, like, just to get your juices flowing and get you thinking about those types of itineraries.
Yeah, I met a lady that she does beer tours in Edinburgh. And it's she has a group of about four people, tour guides, that basically take you around the city. They teach you about the city, but they also take you around and let you teach you about the beer.
Did you meet anybody from Juneau by any chance? Because we're going to spend a couple nights in Juneau.
No, nobody from Juneau.
Vancouver?
No, actually, the ones that I met were around Ottawa and Toronto.
Oh,
the ones that I met in Canada, and they have a big beer scene up that direction too.
I'm sure we will make do.
So I did find out what the Berliner liqueurs are. It's actually, there's two of them. There's a green Woodruff and a red raspberry.
Okay. That's that wood, that's the Woodruff that our Dub Arbory here uses too. Sorry, I had a question and it just completely flew away.
So, yeah, go enjoy your beer. And even if you can't go anywhere, if you're not traveling, go visit your local brewery. They really do appreciate you coming in and trying out the beer.
Yeah, and it's a local small business, so it's always good to...
Yes.
And the best thing of all, next to the access to the beer, is that most of these places are dog friendly.
Yes.
If they're not serving food inside, most of them, you have to check with your local areas or wherever you're traveling, but most are pet friendly. Lilybell has been to more breweries than most people.
Yeah. Bombshell had, there's a woman who's dog sitting this golden retriever that last week had to go and visit every table to get pets. So
most of them have water bowls. They have treats. Yep. Yes.
She's the unofficial greeter at our local brewery here. Aww. They'll bring in music and have like bands outside, and they have fire pits out there all year round. And then they'll park the food truck out there, and Lilybell lays there and just gets, she's the greeter. Everybody walks by her and has to touch her. So,
visit your, even if you can't travel and you can't go anywhere, go visit your local brewery. They really appreciate it.
Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, George, Sandy, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.